This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church. Good soldiers march forward on good shoes. Our spiritual armor contains a pair of good shoes. Today, Pastor Sam will continue a sermon titled, Wearing the Shoes of the Gospel of Peace. The gospel is the good news of the peace of God's great kingdom. As kingdom soldiers, we're supposed to be ready to defend the advance against the kingdom. The shoes of the gospel of peace give us the readiness to stand and push forward against the kingdom of the enemy. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
The obedience that Jesus rendered in his earthly life resulted in a perfect righteousness, and it is that righteousness that he gives to you. And that obedience and that righteousness created a peace. It made peace possible. And the way that peace happened to come to you, the unrighteous one, is in chapter 2, when Paul says, now this champion who wore the belt of truth and won the breastplate of righteousness did something stunning. He took your place. He became your substitute. And he died on the cross that you should have died on because of your guilt and your sins. And in so doing, he tore down the hostility, this wall that was impenetrable and unbreachable. He tore that wall down between you and God and between you and each other. And this shalom, this peace, is what he gives to you. Jesus looked at his disciples on the way to winning that peace, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." And he's really clear about this is not the kind of peace that you're going to find anywhere in the world. If you're looking for peace in the world, there are many solutions, there are many options, there are many ways in which you can attempt to find what we're talking about here. Maybe you're going to find it in security. Maybe you're going to find it in possessions and in the accumulation and protection of wealth. Maybe you're going to find it in some satisfaction that you have determined will make you happy. Maybe it's in your good health. Maybe it's in the car you drive. Maybe it's in your bank account. Maybe it's in the family that you think you have. And Jesus says, now, that kind of peace is not what I'm talking about. I have a very, very different kind of peace, and it comes from a very different source. I mean, in Paul's day and in Jesus' day, the world had a peace. It was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. And if you've ever studied history, that period of time is actually called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, and it was enforced. It was won by a sword, and it was enforced by a sword. And Jesus says, now that isn't the kind of peace I'm talking about. So as you think about our champion wearing the belt of truth and wearing the breastplate of righteousness, in Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10, he wears the shoes of peace. In the book of Isaiah, we meet two servants who are commissioned by God, and they are sent out by God with a message. You know the servants. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah himself is one of the servants. He sees God high and lifted up. And immediately he starts realizing, I am not worthy even to look on this. Later in John, we find out that he's actually looking at Christ. Seated on a throne, high and lifted up. And he's overwhelmed by this. And he says, I am a man of unclean lips. And immediately one of the seraphim comes and takes a coal from off the altar and cleanses Isaiah, touches his lips. Remember this? And then there's a question, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, I'll go. I want to go. What do you want me to do? And God says to him, I want you to announce something. I have a message I want you to announce. And when you start reading the message, it is one of judgment. I want you to go to all Israel, and I want you to preach to them until their ears don't hear and their eyes don't see. And I want you to preach until judgment comes and destroys this nation, except for a small remnant. Forty-four chapters later, you read about another servant who is commissioned by God. And he's sent by God. God says to him, go to the mountain of Israel and take your shoes and your feet and announce something to them. Publish good news. Isaiah went to these people and he had to publish the news of judgment. Here is another servant, and he's coming with a completely different message. And the message is, there is salvation, there is deliverance, there is peace. Why? Because your God reigns. 800 years later, a baby boy is born in the city of David, Bethlehem of Judea. And on the night of his birth, an angel announces, good news of great joy will be to all people. This is Luke 2. Why? Because to you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, Messiah, Lord. It's a stunning story, isn't it? And a whole army of angels join him and they say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, what? Peace among those with whom he is well pleased. You know this baby boy, his name was Jesus. He came into the very heart of the realm of darkness. He came into the very soul of Satan's kingdom to make a peace. And he did. He rescued those who were captives. He delivered those who were slaves in the kingdom of darkness and made them sons and daughters of God, members of God's own household. We read in Ephesians chapter 2. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, this messenger, this servant of Yahweh who has made this peace, stands on a mountain at the end of Matthew 28, and he announces that he reigns. Remember Isaiah 52? You go and announce and publish good news, glad tidings of peace and salvation and deliverance. Why? Because your God reigns. And 800 years later on a mountain, Jesus looks at a few disciples and he says to them, I reign. All authority has been given to me. Where? In heaven and on earth. And he charges those disciples to go and do in the kingdom of darkness what he had done. You go into the same kingdom of darkness and you go to every nation, every tongue, every tribe, and you publish the news of the peace that I've made. It's a stunning thing. And there was a man named Paul who had a vision of this disciple, and he said this to the Romans, I am eager. I am ready. I am prepared to preach the gospel everywhere to anyone, Jew or Gentile, because of what I know. The gospel is the authority of God. It is the ability of God to save anyone who does what? Believes. And now the Apostle Paul looks at you, and he looks at me, who have been the recipients of Paul's message in the book of Ephesians, the publishing of this amazing gospel of peace that is now our gospel of peace. And at the end of the book, Paul says, now here's where I've been going. You need to strap on that readiness, and you need to take that news that is now yours about King Jesus, who rescued us and delivered us and saved us and gave us shalom and made us members of his own house. You need to do with that gospel that changed you the very same thing I did when that gospel changed me. It turned me into someone who was ready, eager, joyful to take the gospel anywhere to anyone. Now you strap on the shoes of that readiness that comes out of the immensity of the peace that the gospel brought to you, and you do the same thing. You go into the kingdom of darkness. Go everywhere. Go throughout Ephesus, go to Colossae, go to Istanbul, go to Greece, go to Turkey, go everywhere and publish on every mountain this incredible news. In Isaiah 52, the servant was singular. When Paul talked about it in Romans 10, he quotes that same text, and it's plural. Now it is messengers. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach the good news. Because Paul has a question in Romans chapter 10. He says this, let me remind you of something. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No question about it. Right out of Joel chapter 2, verse 32. But then he says this, how will people call on a person they have not believed in? And how will they believe on that person if they've never heard of that person? And how are they to hear about that person if somebody isn't publishing, announcing, heralding that news? And how will people go to herald that news unless they are sent, unless they are commissioned? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those, plural, who preach the gospel. That's why Paul looks at us, now that we have the righteousness of God and the obedience of Christ, now that we have that, it produces this amazing shalom. And Paul says that should produce in you an eager readiness to take that gospel and that news everywhere. So, with that backdrop in mind, here are three things I want you to think about as you think about doing that. How do I actually wear these shoes? How do I actually wear this readiness? And here's the first thing that has to happen in your life and in mine. You and I must possess this peace personally. It's amazing, isn't it, when we sit in a room like this and we let Paul talk to us and we sort of suspend what we think we know about a text and we actually let that text talk to us? So many times when I read the Bible, and I'm sure you find this to be true, I have so much white noise going on, so much background noise going on because of what I've heard or what I've thought about that text. And sometimes we just have to let Paul tell us what he's trying to tell us. And what he's trying to tell us is there is an amazing armor that God wore for you, and that because of your relationship to him, because of your union with him, that armor now clothes you. You have this obedience. You have this righteousness. And you have this peace. It is yours. It is unshakable. Nothing can touch it. No disease can take this peace away. No loss financially can take this peace away. No human reversal can take this peace away. No uncertainty about life can take this peace away, because this peace was a peace that was not based on any of those things. When you got this peace, it wasn't economically based, it wasn't politically based, it wasn't socially based. It came because of a peacemaker that you have an intimate, inextricable, unchangeable relationship to. He is the one who made this peace. He made the peace. He guarantees the peace, because he is the peace. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace. Think about how humans make peace with one another. They make an agreement. We're going to get together and we're going to agree that our differences are going to be set aside. I'm going to set aside my difference with you, and you're going to set aside your difference with me. And on the basis of that agreement, we're going to have peace. Think about two countries who are at war. They make peace with each other through a treaty. Here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to agree to this. You're going to agree to that. We're going to sign the treaty. And as long as the treaty makers are in power, then that treaty is going to stand. That is not how the peace that we're talking about this morning was made. You don't have that peace because God signed a treaty with you. That's not how you got this peace. That's why when you think about it that way, if you do something, you're like, oh, okay, I'm done. I blew it again, and now I don't have peace, and I got to go figure out how to start all over, and I got to earn my way back into favorable status so I can have peace. And Jesus is going, that isn't at all what I did. And Paul is saying, that's not the peace I'm talking about. This is not a peace that's based on your performance. You didn't get this peace because you obeyed so well, and you aren't going to destroy this peace because of your disobedience. If your obedience didn't get the peace for you, your disobedience can't take it away from you. Because it was never about your obedience. It was always about somebody else's obedience. It was always about Jesus' obedience. How many times do we labor as Christians wondering if God likes us? I don't know, maybe God's upset at me. That's why all of this is going on. That's why this happened to my job. That's why this happened to my family. That's why this went on. This is why this economic disaster came upon me. It's because God is upset with me. And Paul is saying to you, you missed the whole point about this peace. It was never about that. Because the peace was never based on your obedience. It was always based on Christ's. Well, Pastor Sam, you just don't understand. You don't know how this area of my life that I struggle with over and over and over, this unrighteousness that I hate, but I keep going back to, and it's just destroyed peace. And the answer is no, it didn't. It maybe destroyed your understanding of peace, but it never affected the true peace that you have with God the Father, because it was never based on your unrighteousness. Or on your righteousness, rather. And it can never be touched by your unrighteousness, because it was always about the righteousness of Jesus. And as long as Jesus is alive, that peace stands. That's why the resurrection is so important. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, then we are of all the world, of all the people in the world, those of us who are banking on this righteousness and on this obedience and on this trust, on this peace, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we are done. We are of all men most miserable. But he did rise. And he is at the right hand of the Father. And as long as Jesus lives, this peace is yours. You don't earn it. You don't enhance it. It's like, well, thanks for the peace. Now let me polish it a little bit. Let me just add a little bit to it. No, 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 no. You got the very best version of peace the universe has ever seen. There is no improving on it. You got the very pristine version of peace, and it is yours as long as you belong to Jesus. And as a Christian, how long are you going to belong to Jesus? Forever. Now, can I just stop here for a second? There ought to be something so stunning about that news that you actually wonder if it's true. Like, are you sure? And that's why Paul keeps coming back to peace in the book. This is so amazing because nothing else on earth looks like this. There is nothing on earth that will give anybody this kind of assurance about this kind of peace. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how deep you struggle, no matter how far you have fallen, Jesus said, it's never about that. It was always about my obedience. It was always about my righteousness. And therefore, my peace I give to you. You don't earn it. I mean, how many times have we labored throwing brick after brick after brick in our wagon to the point that we can barely pull it. And then we come to church and our pastor throws three more bricks on it. And then we finally just say, there's absolutely no way. That's why Jesus said, no, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not my yoke. I'm not putting that on you. My yoke is what? Light. It's easy. Why? Because it's peace. And so you and I have to possess this peace personally. You say, well, how do I get it? I get it the way Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Aren't you tired of trying to live up to something God never intended for you to live up to? Man, maybe if I could just cobble enough obedience together, I could get to heaven. Maybe if I could just mount up enough righteousness over here, I could make up for all of the unrighteousness over here. And maybe God will say, okay, you know what? I'm impressed. Come on in. And even as Christians, we have that mentality, don't we? Maybe if I could just not sin for 7 days in a row, my prayer is going to get a little better chance of getting answered. Or maybe if I could just figure out how to pile up my duct tape righteousness, I could impress God and maybe he would sort of accept me. And Jesus just explodes all of that. And he says, this peace is your, my peace I give unto you. So we need to possess this peace personally, and that just comes by recognizing that God is going to give us this peace on the basis of what Jesus did, not on the basis of what I do. On the basis of what Jesus promised to do, not on the basis of what I promised to do. All I can do is come and say, my life is a mess. Look at all of this unrighteousness. Look at all of this disobedience. Lord, I repent. I turn from that, but I don't know how to fix it. I need your forgiveness. I need your obedience. I need your righteousness. And God the Father says, done. Done. It's that simple. And if you've never seen it that way, if you've never done that, then I would invite you this morning, even while I'm preaching, right as you're sitting, to cry out to God and to say, God, this is great news. This is good news. I have heard great joy this morning out of the message that you are publishing, that you reign, that you made a peace, that you extended righteousness, that you gave obedience, that you deliver, that you say, because you reign, and I want to be in your kingdom. I want to be in your family. Please forgive me and embrace me as a son or as a daughter. And you know what? God will do that. So you must possess the peace personally. Secondly, you must protect the peace. You must possess it, but you must protect it with others. Why? Because this matters to God. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about preserving the unity of the Spirit with a particular kind of bond. The word bond there is the idea of glue. A substance that holds two broken things together, or two things that you're trying to join, there is a bond, a glue, a mortar, something that you put together that holds those things together.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll finish this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the lead teaching pastor of Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Come join our worship service at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billiou. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.